It's a great day for a podcast. Once again, here he is, John Oakley.
The armorer on the movie that Alec Baldwin was working on in Santa Fe, New Mexico, Rust. She was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter and faces up to 18 months in state prison. But we were just curious at the time, what is an armorer's role and responsibility in total? And obviously, she is going to the big house. But Mike Tristano knows of such. He's a professional armorer and on-set weapons handler based in Los Angeles. Also one of the largest suppliers of movie and television prop guns in the industry. So we've got Mike with us this afternoon on The Oakley Show. Hey, Mike, appreciate you giving us a few moments of your time.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, Mike, just in terms of an armorer's role and responsibilities, and now I understand you can't speak directly to the case of Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, who, by the way, was deemed to be negligent, careless, and thoughtless. How much responsibility do you place in your role as an armorer to make sure that, you know, you're really airtight on any, and there's no live rounds that ever make it onto the set of a movie with your guns?
Well, for me and my crew, I mean, we, you know, safety is the biggest thing for us, and we do everything. We overdo it, if you want to say that. But I mean, we check everything many, many times in the shop before we even get to the set with it. And, you know, to be on my crew, you have to have a lot of experience. Most of my crew have been with me over 20 years, so they know my safety process. But
what is that? Give it to us step by step. I mean, do you use dummy bullets, or do you make sure that there is nothing in the chamber? No live rounds? How do you ensure there are no live rounds?
Well, we never bring any live rounds to the set ever. I mean, that's something we never, ever do. They're never on the truck, and in the shop they're locked up for if we have to do any training with them. But that's about it. But none ever go to the set. And when we use dummy rounds, I have them made by a guy who just makes dummy rounds for the movies. He's been doing it for me for 30 years. But even when I get his stuff, and I know how safe it is, and I know how inert it is, I still test it at the shop. And then when it goes out to the set, we test it again, but I test it in front of the crew. So in other words, I would take a dummy round. Let's say we were using a single action revolver, like the one on Rust. I walk onto the set with the gun empty. I have the dummies in my hand, and I would show the AD and the crew and the director and of course the actors, anyone involved in the shot, that these are dummies. I would put them in the gun, and then I would point the gun down at the ground, and I would cycle each one, firing the primer on it. Now, the primers are already punched, but we do that again just to ensure that there's nothing live and to show the crew that there's nothing they have to worry about. That's a very important thing today. So it's kind of a foolproof system because we've already put the rounds through their pace. But if somebody is doing a rehearsal on a set, I don't even hand them the gun they're going to use. I hand them either an exact rubber of that gun or an exact replica of the gun. Because for rehearsals, you don't need that, only when the gun is going to actually be fired. And then when I'm firing it, I do the same thing with the blanks. I bring on the blanks, and blanks, of course, look very different than a dummy round. A blank is basically a brass casing with powder in it that's crimped closed, so there's no bullet head on it. So you can obviously see it's a blank. And I only load those when the AD gives me the go-ahead that we're fully ready to film the shot. I tell the actor how many rounds are in the gun, and I set up the shot where the actor has a point to point the gun at. He has a target, basically, which is never directly at a crew member, a cast member, an animal, or anybody. It's always at least 3 feet off. So even if something was to come out of the gun, not that it ever has, but let's say a piece of the blank casing broke off. In theory, it could happen. I've never had it happen in almost 40 years. But anything that came out of the gun would just go to an area where there's nothing you could hit.
But wasn't it the case that there was a piece that came out when was it a dummy round? Help me out here because it was so long ago. But 1993, Brandon Lee on the set of The Crow actually was shot. Wasn't it at close range and something went into his skull?
Well, there were a lot of mistakes that happened on that set. One was that they had the dummy rounds made locally. So they were not really made by a professional who just does that. And when the dummy rounds were put into the gun, now the armorer was not on the set when that happened, as far as I know. They had a prop assistant handling the guns that day, for whatever reason. And he had never checked the cylinder of the revolver to make sure that there was nothing in it. And what had happened, one of the heads of one of the dummy bullets came loose and lodged in the cylinder. So what happens then, you know, and once again, he didn't check that the cylinder was clear. When you put a blank behind a dummy head, you know, dummy bullet head, you've created a bullet. Mm. But also, this person never set up the shot so that the gun was never pointing directly at Brandon. The gun should have never, ever been pointed at him.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's really a colossal leap of faith when a gun is being pointed on a set as, you know, the filming is taking place rather than any kind of a rehearsal or so on and so forth. But, you know, this was a report that some people had brought live rounds onto the set, maybe were just kicking around when the movie wasn't being shot per se, or everybody was in their trailer. You know, how do you deter maybe some crew members from getting their hands on these things and playing around on the back lot there, or do you keep them under lock and key, safe storage?
Well, everything we have, John, is always locked in the truck, and it's locked in a lockbox inside the truck, which is locked.
Right.
So nobody ever has access to it. But there should never have been any type of live ammunition there, even for that.
Right. Well, we've seen tragedies in this regard, albeit rare and fortunately, but it's unfortunate that a life was lost on the set of Rust. And just understanding the role and responsibility of the armorer, you've clarified that whole point, Mike. I appreciate your time. We'll let you get back to work on the movie. Yep.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, all the best. Again, Mike Tristano, professional armorer and onset weapons handler based in Los Angeles.
Listen to The John Oakley Show live each weekday afternoon from 3 until 6. If you live in the Toronto area, just turn that AM dial to 640 and listen anywhere on earth 24 hours a day by going to 640toronto.com. Follow on Twitter at @AM640Oakley. You've been listening to A Curious Cast. New podcasts and shows are debuting all the time. So check back often to see what's new in the Curious Cast library.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.